In the days of our childhood, my sister and I used to spend countless hours playing pretend and acting out different roles. From swashbuckling pirates to prim and proper princesses, we had our favorite fictional roles down. As we grew up, our roles became less fictional, and they became the reality of what we want to achieve in our lives. Tiffany's major's roles included the intellectual student, the talented performer, the beautiful pageant queen, the knowledgeable showman, the precise chairman, and finally, the agricultural advocate. There has been no role Tiffany has committed more to than serving as an advocate for agriculture through the National FFA organization. Tiffany has put her heart and soul into serving the 540,000 FFA members across the nation this year. Since seventh grade, Tiffany has been working towards filling the role of a dedicated FFA member to the best of her ability. It seems Tiffany was even destined for this role, being that her name is spelled T-I-F-F-A-N-Y. National FFA, I would like to introduce to you my sister and our 2010-2011 National Eastern Region Vice President, Tiffany Rogers.
I'm thinking about all the things I heard about today, all this week and tomorrow, and how these hands could create some better things for better rain. But you see, for now I got my own things. I can't help it, I got so many issues I own, so I cannot help but refrain.
I have a confession. My name is Tiffany Rogers, and I am uncoordinated. It's sad, but true. I consider my lack of coordination to be an art form. After all, it takes talent to spill your beverage at 3 out of every 5 meals, and it explains why revolving doors are one of my biggest fears. And for those of us that were here at session 3 last night and witnessed the incident before opening ceremonies, we'll blame that on the coordination, too. It's a condition I have suffered from my entire life. I'm learning to cope with it, but this uncoordination business put me to the test this past winter. My friends Jeff, Kyle, Kelly, and I were headed up north, and I was about to go skiing for the first time in my life. I know what you're thinking, uncoordinated person. First time skiing sounds like a ridiculous mess just waiting to happen. We get to the resort and meet up with Amanda, Ashley, and their dad, Larry, who came to give us some ski lessons. Lesson number 1, never let your skis cross. Lesson number 2, pizza versus french fry. Pizzaing is like this. Toes together makes a piece of pizza, makes you go slower. French frying is like this. Toes apart looks like 2 french fries, makes you go faster. Now, we're at the top of the hill, and I realize this is going to be a cake sauce. I mean, there are 3-year-olds taking on this hill like a champ. I push off, and that's where it all goes downhill. Literally. I make it about 3 feet, and my skis start to go in opposite directions. I can hear Larry yelling behind me, "Pizza! Pizza!" But my skis have a mind of their own. After 5 more trips down the bunny hill, the score was skis 5, Tiffany, -17. My finer moments included falling and leaving a trail of ski equipment behind me as I went, and taking out an innocent family of 4. It got to the point where my friends decided to score my falls like Olympic judges, and the judges' scores are in 7, 7.5, 4.5. Ooh, that was a tough break on that last score, Stan. Maybe she'll redeem herself on the next fall. Seeing that I was clearly struggling, Larry, my friend's dad, came up with this brilliant idea and said, "Now, I don't mean to be too forward, but What if you wrapped your arms around my waist? I mean, just so you can make it down the hill. So, we take off. And it's going pretty decent, except for the level of awkwardness going on, and I'm suffering from an internal struggle at this point, trying to hang on so I don't die, but at the same time keeping as much room as possible, because, I mean, I specialize in awkward, but clinging to the waist of my friend's dad is not my favorite way to show it. Now, I get a little too preoccupied with my internal struggle and forget to pay attention to my skis. First, they cross, then they get caught in Larry's skis, and pause. On the trip up the ski lift, not even 5 minutes before, Larry had just finished telling me it had been about 7 years since he'd fallen while skiing. So, it was only natural for me to ruin a 7-year record in all of 7 seconds. Okay, play. The skis cross, get caught in Larry's, and it is bad news. Here he is trying to help me, and all I can manage to do for a thank you is practically drag him down the hill with me. And it was real cute. I even managed to break one of his skis in half. Eventually, I was able to make it down the hill in one piece, and with each fall and each bruise, someone was always there with me to laugh it off and ask if I was ready to go again. Without the support of my friends and the help of Larry that day, I would have given up. If it wasn't for them, I would still be out on that mountain. I needed them. Just as we have needed others, there are those that need us, making a difference. It sounds great in theory, but when it comes down to it, it can be easier said than done. It requires us to look past ourselves, to see the needs of others, and then be willing to make a difference that only we can make. And if you could make a difference, why wouldn't you? It's simple. Because someone gets in the way. Ourselves. Growing up, I saw my grandpa Art a few times a year. Christmas, fair week, maybe for birthdays. He lived hours away, and as he got older and his health worsened, I saw him even less. I was 11 when Grandpa Art passed away. We drove for hours to get to the funeral, and it was so uncomfortable. Everyone around me was upset. I knew maybe a whole 5 people besides my family. The seats were painfully hard, and the church was freezing. Why did I have to be here? I mean, he was my grandpa, but I barely knew him. Everyone around me was sad, and I knew that I should be too, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't know what it meant for my grandpa to be gone. I decided that my presence was pointless. I started looking around for things to do, looking out the stained glass windows and playing with our Kleenex box in our row of seats, and then I noticed my dad. He'd been different ever since we'd gotten the call telling us that Grandpa Art had passed away. He didn't laugh or smile as much, and he was quieter than usual. But today was the first time in all of my life that I had seen my dad cry. That image of my dad in so much pain stuck with me. And to this day, it still makes me sick to my stomach, but nothing like the feeling I had on the car ride home from the funeral. I couldn't believe how selfish I had been. The whole time I had been focused on myself and not given a second thought to the people around me, not even my family. My dad had needed me, but I hadn't noticed. I could have been there for him, but first, I would have to get over myself. That's when I realized my presence wasn't about me at all. Selfish. Such an ugly word, but too often we let it describe our actions, our thoughts, and ourselves. We live in our own little world and fail to notice that our purpose is not about us, that there are needs of others that are greater than our own. Excuses are one of the ultimate forms of selfishness. And somehow, they become a part of our daily routine. I'm busy. I've got my own things. Why should I have to worry about problems that I didn't create? Why should I care? We allow excuses to dictate how we live our lives. We exhaust ourselves trying to explain things away. We are convinced that our problems are the most important thing and that we are more important than the people around us. But we're not. When we're focused on others, we're devoted to something bigger and greater than us. That's when we have a proper view of ourselves. That's when we can see the needs of those around us, and that's when we can make a difference. Instead of concentrating on whether or not we won our CDE, why not celebrate the accomplishments of others? What do they need? And instead of focusing on our reputation and what our friends think, what about that classmate that sits alone at lunch? And instead of spending hours worrying if we have the latest iPod or cell phone, what about that family in town whose dad was recently laid off? Will you help someone in need, or will you turn away? Okay, I get it. Get over ourselves. Put others first. I have heard it all before, but I can't possibly make a difference. Here's the deal, though. Each of us can make a difference, and it's a difference that only we can make. Because we all have the power and responsibility to do something. Anything. I've shown draft horses since I was 7 years old, when I could barely reach the horse's shoulder. There is nothing like taking the lead of a 2,000-pound horse with hooves the size of a dinner plate. In my opinion, they are some of the most amazingly beautiful creatures, but they can also be amazingly unpredictable. 2 summers ago, I was traveling with the farm I show for along with Steve, Amy, and Joe, and we were at the Indiana State Fair doing morning chores. I was given the option to be the one who exercised the horses, or shoveled stalls, or as I like to call it, the equine excrement disposal engineer. And as classy as that sounds, I decided to walk the horses. So I took Apollo out for his walk, brought him back to the barn, led him into the stall, and as I reached up to undo his lead rope, he reared up. When he came down, he hit me with his hoof, shoe and all, right above my eye. You know that feeling when your body is going in slow motion, but your brain is going in fast forward? That's what was happening. I was trying to process what had happened, but I couldn't really understand. I remember seeing Amy running towards me, hollering for Joe to get help, and Steve running towards Apollo and the stall door that was still wide open, and all of this went through my brain in like 0.7 seconds. After that, things start to kind of get blurry. There was me getting sick to my stomach and making it to the trash can just in time, and then getting dizzy and things starting to go black. Next thing I know, I wake up on a stretcher in the back of an ambulance. I reached up to my face and felt what seemed like a softball coming out of my forehead. Before this, I had only ever been to the hospital for checkups. Now, I was in the emergency room in a strange town, hours from home, without my family. I didn't remember what had happened. I was alone, and I was scared. Relief. Joe, Steve, and Amy walked into the room where I was, and I have never been so thankful to see a familiar face. They were there when I needed them the most. They made all the difference just by being there, and it was a difference that only they could make at that point in time in my life. But I'm not even sure if they know the difference that they made that day. Not many of us ever know of the impact we make. We have no idea how a simple word, note, or gesture can mean the world to someone else. Most of the time, we have no idea of the things we teach or share with others or the direction in which we move them. Maybe you're just in the right place at the right time. Maybe it's because of the experiences or stories you have to share. Maybe it's because of the gifts that you have. But no matter the reason, we all have the ability to make a difference just as we are, and it's one that no one else could ever replicate. We all come into the world with gifts designed to make a better place for others. But if we don't use those, something wonderful is lost. Because we each have something that only we can give. We all have the ability to make a difference, one that's unique to each and every one of us, a lot like our signature. Our names become etched across the lives of others in our very own handwriting, leaving a permanent indentation with its uniquely shaped lines and dots. Think about those that have left their signature on your life. A parent, a teacher, your best friend, the cashier at the store, the person that sits three seats behind you in math, the person sitting next to you right now. The list goes on and on. How many people have made a difference in your life? I bet too many to count. Some we may never even realize, but the differences and signatures are still there. For me, this past year has put it all into perspective. I was hit with the staggering reality of just how many signatures have been placed on my life. And do you know who most of them belong to? You. I've always known that as FFA members, we are constantly striving to make a difference. But I was able to witness this firsthand this year as so many of you have made a difference in my life, forever changing me because you took the time to sign here. Jonathan from North Carolina showed what it means to truly be a caring friend by being concerned for me when he had plenty of his own concerns. Micah from Wyoming displays his faith, which encourages me to strengthen my own beliefs. Marita from Missouri taught me a powerful lesson in the love of teammates and family. And Justin from Ohio has no idea the example of unwavering strength that he has set for me. Take a moment and appreciate the signatures transposed across your life. Beyond that, appreciate the difference that each of those signatures represents. Now ask yourself, whose life will your signature be on? Are you taking the time to make a difference for others, or are you letting something get in the way of you making that difference? It's time. Right here and right now, the excuses stop. We will look past ourselves to see the needs of others because every day, in every situation, everyone has the ability to make a difference. Don't wait for the perfect time or conditions. Find a need and fill it now. Don't let it be luck or coincidence, but instead purposeful intentions to touch the lives of others. Act as if what you do makes an impact because it does, and unless someone like you cares a whole lot, nothing is going to change. There are people that need you. So the question is, where will you sign?
Wait up the world. Tiffany, no matter how ridiculous your glasses are, how perfect your flip charts may be, or how fresh and clean your home is, you've always been a shoulder to lean on. And let's face it, you're pretty much in the business of being awesome. How does that happen? We've been blessed through your music selection, your beauty and grace, your creativity, humility, and ability to be real with every person you encounter. It's your commitment to living authentic that leaves others feeling appreciated and valued. You inspire just by being you. Ladies and gentlemen, our National Eastern Region Vice President, Tiffany Rogers!
Yeah.